This is an oral history interview recorded with Louis Balestrin for the Italian Market Gardeners Oral History Project. I'm Madeline Regan, and it's the 2nd of December 2021, and I'm interviewing Louis in his home in Kidman Park, South Australia. Thank you, Louis, for agreeing to this interview. Louis, the first thing that I'll do is to ask about your family background. What is your full name?
My full name is Louis William Balestrin.
And do you know how you got your names?
I don't know exactly where Louis came from, but obviously it's short for the English equivalent to Luigi. The William side of the name is apparently I had an uncle who was named Guglielmo, so I apparently my brother, when he registered the name, put down the English version of Guglielmo, which is probably William.
Yeah, and was that uncle on your mother's side or your father's side?
No, my mother's side.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you know that uncle?
No. These uncles were all in Italy, and I never met them.
And Louis, what is your date of birth?
3/10/50.
And where were you born?
Here in Adelaide. Apparently I was at Ashford. I don't know what hospital, but it probably was the old, what is now the new Ashford Hospital. I got no idea.
Yeah. And what about your parents? Can you tell me your mother's full name?
No. I can only say her name was Chisita, but I don't know her full name.
And her family name?
Her family name was Ceppo.
And your father's name?
Giuseppe Balestrin. Yeah.
And do you know when your parents were born?
My dad was born in 1910. Exactly what day, I don't know. And my mum was born in 1915.
We're just going to pause the interview.
Yeah.
We're resuming the interview, and we were talking about your mother.
Correct.
Yeah.
And my mother, I know she was born in 1915. I think it was 25th or the 26th of May.
And where were your parents born? Where was your father born?
Oh, he was born in Italy, in the village Bala, where he came from. And I presume my mother was born at Salvarosa. I'm not too sure exactly where she was born, but that's near Castelfranco Veneto.
And so Bala and
Salvarosa
were fairly close together.
Yeah, they're not very, they're probably 5-6 kilometres apart.
And what were your parents doing around the time that you were born?
They were market gardening. They initially were up at Virginia, and then I think when my sister was born, they moved down to Adelaide. I'm not sure on that one. They were in the market garden.
And you've just mentioned your brother and your sister. Can you give their names and their date of birth or how much older they were than you?
Oh, yes. Well, my brother, he's 14 years older, and his name's Lino. And my sister, she's about... was 7 years older, and her name was Norma.
And we were talking before that I interviewed both Lino and Norma, and we're doing the interview today to close off the family record. And can you just tell me a little bit about your own family? Like, when did you marry?
I married in 1975. I was 25 then, and or 24 actually, it was in February the 8th, 1975. And I married Jeanette. She was the same age as me. So, and moved into this place where we are now, and I've never shifted. Unfortunately, she got ill and passed away, so I had to move on.
And when did she die?
She died in 1996, so she was, 40. She was born in 1950, so 46,
Wow, so young. And your children?
Yes, well, we had three children, Michelle, Lyndia and Simon. Michelle was 18, 19 when she died, and Lindy 16 and Simon 14.
And I've just met Felicidad.
Felicidad.
And you married when?
We married in 2006. My mother had time to meet her before she died.
And when did your mother die?
She died in December 2005.
Right.
So, and we married in, it was in January 2006, sort of 2 months after.
Oh, it was nice that your mother got to know her and to know that you were in a situation that was, a family again, new family. And your father, when did he die?
He died in 1989.
Yeah. And we'll be talking more about them in the interview. When you said that you came here when you were married in 1975,
mm-hmm.
you didn't move very far.
No, we only moved, I only moved from Hartley Road to here, which is to
like about what, a kilometre?
Kilometre and a half.
And was it significant for you to come and live close to where you'd grown up?
So I didn't want to move. We had looked at moving somewhere, but it was so this sort of, to me, is one of the better places in Adelaide. We're close to the beach, close to the city, grew up in this area, and it was good, so we stayed here.
It's interesting because a number of the market gardener children of those market gardener families live around this area, they chose to.
A few moved away, but most stayed around
the
western side of town.
And I'm going to ask you some questions about your parents coming to Australia. What do you know about your father coming to Australia?
Not much. I know he came over. He came to Australia when he was 17, and I think he came with my uncle Dottle. The two of them arrived here. And then they moved from job to job all over the place. I don't know where where they worked.
Do you know why your father would have migrated at a young age like that, at 17?
No, but I imagine because obviously it was it was in time of war over there, just start of the war, and obviously there was no work, so look to go somewhere where it can make a living, I suppose.
Do you know what the circumstances were that he came from in his family?
No.
Like, were they contadini? People working the land?
I think so. I'm not too sure about that. I think so. They had land, but I've never delved into that much.
And Do you know why it was Adelaide that he came to?
No. I don't know.
And what about the story of how your parents met and married?
No, don't know much about it. All in those days, they used to all go back to Italy and find a wife and come here. So I don't know that either. That was the trendy thing. I mean, they all go back, find a wife, come out.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know how long that took to do that, but
When your mother came, I think you said earlier that the families were living up in Gawler
at Virginia.
Virginia.
Yeah. So I think they leased some land up there with my uncle Doddle and Frankie's side of the Ballastrins leased some land and grew cauliflowers, cabbages. I don't know what they did.
Yeah. Do you know if your mother had any relatives here in Adelaide when she arrived?
From what I gather, no. Any other relatives came later, but she was by herself. Yeah.
Yeah, big thing to do.
Oh yeah, 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 come all that way. Yeah.
Mm. And who were the Tiepo relatives who came to Adelaide after your mother?
Two of her brothers came, Giuseppe and Cecil. They were two brothers that come out here. And I don't know how they came out here, whether they were sponsored or came on their own accord.
And now we'll talk about you growing up, and we've already talked about one thing, which is about your godparents. And I was telling you I'd seen a photo of you on your baptism day.
Yes. And I can remember seeing the photos in my mum's arms and with my godparent next door.
And can you talk a little bit about your godfather?
His name was Gino Badnall, and he also was a market gardener down here off Angley Avenue. We used to see each other from time to time. They used to visit us, we used to visit them. That's as far as I went.
Do you know who your godmother was?
No, I can't remember.
And for confirmation, you were saying you had...
Yeah, my uncle, my mum's brother, Giuseppe, he was my sponsor for that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, when your uncles came to Adelaide, did they live with your family?
Not from what I can remember, no. No, they boarded somewhere. They didn't live with us.
I ask people in interviews if they have a first memory. Do you have a first memory? Something that, you know, you kind of think about?
Not a real first memory. I'm trying to think back as far as I can remember, but I can't even remember going to school on my first day at school. I can remember coming home from school and having a milk bottle.
Well, that's good.
But I can't remember going there.
Can you remember what the first house was that you grew up in?
Yeah, it was a tin shed, I suppose you could call it.
Like corrugated iron?
It was corrugated iron, but it did have two rooms, two bedrooms and a sleep out. We did have a bath.
Inside,
we did have a bath and a shower inside. There was outside toilet. Did have a cellar. There was yet another room outside, was the laundry. I can remember staying inside. I think it was quite a few weeks because I came down with rheumatic fever, and those days, the treatment, I don't know what the treatment is these days, if it does still happen, you had to stay in the dark for some reason. I don't know what it was. And I remember staying in the bedroom every day for quite a few weeks. And then I remember when the time came that I could go out, I can remember sitting in a lounge chair out in the courtyard, and the celery was being packed in the shed. Yeah, so that's...
Would this have been when you were in primary school or before school?
I was in primary school, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what age I was, probably 6 or 7.
Must have been quite hard to have been confined to, you know, dark rooms. And...
yeah, because, you know, I can't remember whether I actually felt ill, but obviously something was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, so. And in describing that house, what would the floor have been?
Oh, from what I remember, it was, you know, timber floor with a lino.
And how far back from Hartley Road was it?
Oh, probably halfway to the river.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it was, there was a dirt track leading into there. Yeah, probably halfway.
And your parents' property, which we'll talk about in a moment, but went from Hartley Road all the way to the river.
Yes, all the way to the river.
Yeah. Good place to play as a kid?
Oh, yeah, it was plenty of room, plenty of room.
Can you remember how many acres there were?
20.
Yeah, which is a big...
It was big.
Big block.
Yeah, it was a big block.
Yeah. Do you remember what it sort of looked like in terms of, you know, features like trees or...
Oh, yes, I can remember that. At, on the eastern side, I think, there was adjoining the Jarmans next door. It was just a row of almond trees down that side. And the pine trees are still there.
I know, near the river.
Yeah, there's the three pine trees down the back. That was the one edge of the boundary. The other edge, the western end, was just a fence, you know, between the neighbours next door.
And who were the next door neighbours?
There was the Mercurios next door, and there was. There was the Barassis down further, closer to or bordering Hartley Road. And then the back sort of third was leased to Ozarella. Johnny used to call him Johnny Zarella. And that was, just a fence and glass houses on one side. And sort of in between, next to the house where we lived, there was another row of almond trees which went from the house to the western boundary.
And did your family own the almond trees? Like, did you have the almonds?
Yeah, we bought what the parrots didn't get. We ate, but towards the end of their life.
Yeah. And were there any other trees, you know?
No, the land was virtually bare because it was all under market garden. And then in one patch we had glass houses. So, there was no trees. No.
What about, any fruit trees or anything like that that you might have had near the house?
No, we didn't have any fruit trees, not from what I remember, no fruit trees. It was just on one side it was a bit of a trellis with some vines on there, but no fruit trees.
Mm. And going back to your family and the home, what language did you speak at home with your father and mother?
Italian dialect.
Veneto dialect.
The Veneto dialect.
Yeah, because they would have both spoken the same dialect.
That's right. No English.
When you went to school, did you speak English?
I learned how to speak English, yeah.
But you would have spoken English with your brother and sister before you went to school?
Obviously, they were years ahead of me. They spoke.
Because some of the people I've interviewed didn't speak English when they went to school.
Oh, I see.
In fact, I think Norma and Lino told me that they didn't. Yeah, but you remember doing that. And in your family, what were some of the occasions for celebration? Did your family celebrate birthdays?
Not necessarily our family. We had the odd birthday, but celebrations were, like you say, was kept to perhaps 21st birthdays. Obviously, weddings. There was not many other. New Year's Eve, there used to be some celebration going to somewhere, whether it was down to Ballastrins and the big shed or Zampin. I remember going to Zampin's, Anglia Avenue. But there wasn't much celebration. There was a lot of visiting between families, but not so many celebrations
Did you call the visiting Fior?
That's a dialect.
And who would your family have visited most?
Because the uncles, my mum's side of things, they didn't work the garden, so we used to see them probably less than the other Ballastrins. So we visited my uncles a bit.
So which Ballastrin families would you have visited?
With Frankie, Frankie and my uncle Isidoro and Nachizel. The gardens were all next to each other, so we used to see each other every day.
And then visiting as well sometimes?
Sometimes, but not so much because... Every day we
like your parents would have worked really hard.
Well, I presume it was hard work. I mean, it wasn't not much mechanical stuff. It was all hoeing we used to have two horses and a lot of the furrowing and it was done with the horses.
All right.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That's really hard work, isn't it? And then the care of in your family's market garden, what was grown?
Three main things was celery, potatoes, and tomatoes in glasshouses.
And so, what would the growing season have been for celery?
Celery was full on probably 9 to 9 months a year. By the time you start sowing the seed in January and let the seed grow to 6 inches tall and then...
And were they transplanted then?
And then you had to pull them all out and then all of them was transplanted. And then by the time they grow, it's not a very fast growing vegetable. And by the time they grew up and harvest, it took a long time.
Did your parents use boards at all for the celery?
Yes, we used to board the celery up using they were sheets of iron to make it come white and soft because these days there's different varieties that you don't have to do that. Where in those days, that was the only way to... attained that the quality that was needed to sell, make people buy it. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, what a labour intensive.
It was, yes.
You know, vegetable growing that
yeah,
was.
It was, yeah.
So when was harvesting? Like about?
Oh, it started early, late autumn, and through to early spring. Yeah, four or 5 months.
Right, and the once it was harvested, you know, and they're all cut.
Yeah.
What happened to the celery?
Ours, it was all sent over to Melbourne.
But, did you have to grade it?
It was, yeah, my dad used to, he was doing what they call the packing, so he'd grade, as he packed it into celery cases, you select the same size as close as possible and make them different size or different number of sticks in a box. So the sort of premium was 20, you know, you get 24 sticks in a box. That was the most premium size celery. Then you can go smaller or bigger, right? But and you just go through it and pick it up and yeah.
Did your parents have a packing shed?
Yeah, we had the packing shed.
So that would have been used a lot at that time for harvesting and then getting it ready for sale, the vegetables?
We used to cart it all in and then go through, wash one stick at a time as you go through.
That's labour intensive.
Yeah, so I can remember, you know, either one of the workers, whether it was my mum or whatever, she'll be in front washing the celery. And then the dad would be behind packing it. And then he might have three cases going at once. This one goes into that size, this one goes in that one. And then you have to cart it to the press and put the lids on and nail it up.
And where did your parents get their boxes from?
Innocente used to supply the boxes.
Yeah, and then you would have had a stamp with your family name on it for Ballast
Street.
Yeah.
The boxes used to be stamped beforehand, the name and name and address, and yeah, and then that was it. The number of sticks in the celery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was stamped, you know, yeah, with ink.
Yeah,
and then. It was taken to Mile End Railway Yards and railed to Melbourne.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a long process.
Yeah. What about watering? How did your parents water the celery?
The celery was watered all by furrow, and the water either came from the river or we did have a bore behind the packing shed and we used to pump from there as well.
So you were pretty fortunate to be by the river to have access to the river water.
Well, yes, but at times the river ran out of water. So that was, you used to have to ring up, the gardeners used to get together and they ring up the SA Water, I suppose, that in those days, I don't know what they were called, but and let the weir open up a little bit and let the water come down and around at every bore there used to be a bit of a depression so that the depression would fill up with water and that would supply a bit more water to them.
And you would have had a pump at the river, would you?
Yes, yeah, pump at the river, pump at and obviously the pump at the other bore.
Yeah. And who did the watering in your family?
We all did it. It's just a matter of who was, there's no allocation. You just volunteer, I suppose.
And was celery, did celery like a lot of water?
Yes, celery likes a lot of water, but if it rains, you save a bit there, but yeah, it's Yeah.
So you didn't grow celery in summer?
No.
No. So by the end of winter it was more, or spring?
Yeah, by the time spring was done, get towards the end of it.
Yeah. And potatoes was the next one you said. What about the potato cycle?
Potato cycles, well, I used to plant, for what I remember, June, July. Plant those 2 months. And
how did you plant? Did you use that method of the eyes, planting the eyes?
Yeah, all the potatoes had to be cut. So I think I can't remember exactly, but you know, I used to buy about 10 tonne of seed and then cut every one into 3 or 4 pieces.
Did you ever do that?
Oh, yeah. I used to cut. But I was too young then.
Yeah. So the cycle was plant in
June, July, dig in, harvest in, you know, from early December to January, February.
And did potatoes need as much water as celery?
Oh, well, the fact is that when the potatoes are growing, it's getting towards summer, and therefore they need water. Probably, you know, once a week, I suppose, if it wasn't too hot. So.
And could you plant potatoes, you know, in the same place year in, year out?
Oh, yeah.
And celery you could plant in the same place, not like tomatoes?
No.
But, what happened with harvesting potatoes? How did you harvest them?
Oh, I was behind it, just a single row harvester. They used to just go along with the tractor and the harvester behind, and they used to just fall out onto the ground. You had to pick them all up then.
That's pretty physically tiring work, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
So what did you put them in?
Well, they were in buckets, because at that stage you could still put them in bags and fill the bag up, and then you could also put them in buckets, and then it came an era where bins were allocated, and you had to put the bin on top of the truck, and then you had to fill in all the buckets and tip the buckets into the bin. So virtually the truck was there most of the time with the bin.
Right, waiting to be
filled in. Yeah, because you can only have so many buckets. I can remember a bin used to take 40 buckets.
Oh, that's quite a lot.
Yeah, so, you know, you used to have 120 buckets. When you fill the buckets up, you got to go get the truck and fill the bins up.
And were the potatoes graded?
No. They were then taken to the co-op where they were graded and washed. And
where was the co-op?
At that stage, it was at Kentown. Yeah.
So, like the bins would have been on the back of the truck and then driven to Kentown.
Driven to Kentown, and then the forklift would unload them and put another set of bins on there.
And then once all the potatoes were picked, like, would the earth be sort of ploughed?
Yeah, then all the it was then ploughed.
And I guess the same for the celery as well.
Yeah. Every time finish a crop, you plough it.
And the third main vegetable, tomatoes.
Yeah, the tomatoes were basically in glass houses, so that was the same.
How many glass houses would you have had?
I think it was around about 20. Yeah, 1920 glass houses. So.
And were they like running north-south on the property?
North-south. Most everything runs north-south.
Okay.
It's especially, you know, to get an even spread of sun.
Right.
Yeah, so one side and the other side.
Yeah. And do you remember how high the glass houses?
They were the lower ones.
Two glasses on the side?
No, there would have been three or four. Yeah, you were very stoop. You could only stand up in them, in the middle rows of the glass houses.
Could any machinery go inside?
Yeah, at at that stage, you could only probably get they used to call the old Ransom tractor, and that was small enough to get inside.
And that would plough?
You need a rotary hoe, but in the early days, they used to do it all by fork.
Yeah, incredible work.
Then small tractors came out and rotary hoes, you could rotary hoe the ground rather than dig it by fork.
Yeah. And the tomatoes, like, when were they planted?
Oh, I'm trying to think now, and they were also around. They were harvested before Christmas, so they in winter they were planted, they used to be picked in, and also in between the end of celery and the start of potato picking, in that 3 or 4 months.
Wow. Yeah. Talk about continuous work in the garden.
Yeah.
Who did the work in the garden?
Who?
Yeah.
Well, it was basically Mum, Dad, and his cousin Judah next door, and his wife.
And her name was
Norina or Leonora.
Yeah.
That's about it. On the weekends, my brother was around. He used to do a bit. I did a little bit, whatever I could. That's it.
Did your parents and uncle and aunt ever employ other people?
From time to time, to pick potatoes, he used to employ two or three other people. There used to be labour around the district, wanting to work. So, especially picking potatoes, because you've got to pick them straight away.
And were the people who were working Italian?
Some were. They were foreigners, but there were some Polish ones.
And that would have been after the war, of course. Who sold the vegetables at market?
Well, we didn't sell very little. We never used to go to market. All the celery was all sent to Melbourne. The potatoes are all taken to the co-op, and then they used to sell, or distribute to the various retailers. And once again, tomatoes were all sent to Melbourne, packed in cases and sent off to Melbourne.
And they were different cases to the celery cases?
Little ones.
What was the difference?
Well, one was...
Oh, we'll just pause this while the phone goes. We're just resuming the interview, and I'm asking Louis about the size of the boxes, the two kinds of boxes.
The tomato boxes was what they called a half bushel case, but the celery...
And what's a half bushel?
A half bushel. I'd have to get the imperial...
What were the dimensions?
The case would have been 2 feet by 10 inches or so, and about 10 inches high.
And that would have been able to contain quite a few tomatoes.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, we it had, you know, it was because it had to have a lid on it, so there was a bit of a restriction there on the number of tomatoes you can put in there, but yeah.
And who would have? Because you were taking the, you were selling them and going by train to Melbourne,
yeah,
and so they had to have a lid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So at the other end, obviously, the lid taken off.
Yeah.
And what about the celery cases? How big were they?
Oh, they were fairly big. They were fairly big. They would have been probably 2.5 foot by 18 inches wide and 18 inches high.
So almost double
or
the
least,
height?
At least double, and double the width and a little bit longer, yes.
You know, I'm thinking about the celery and thinking, how did you growers know how big the celery could get?
If it got too big, it'd go to seed. So, you know.
But they always had to fit inside those dimensions.
Yeah, to fit.
Yeah,
to fit inside those boxes. Yeah.
Yeah. So who took the produce to Mile End Railway Station?
Oh, we used to have the truck between us, and he used to, with my dad or somebody, take the produce to the Mile End Yards. Yeah.
I remember that your sister or brother told me that your dad did not have a driver's licence.
No, he originally did, but he didn't want to drive, and then forgo his license.
And do you know why he wouldn't have wanted to drive?
He was just, I wouldn't say scared, but a little bit apprehensive, I suppose, of driving. I don't know. Yeah.
And your uncle, did he have a driver's license?
No, he didn't have a driver's license either.
And where did your uncle and aunt live in relation to your house?
Next door.
Oh, right next door.
Yeah, they built next door too.
But when you were growing up and you were still in the corrugated iron house, were they...
They were there before us. They built the house before us. Once again, my uncle went back to Italy and came back married. And I don't know where they lived while they were building the home. I can't remember that one.
Right. And you're talking about the new houses that were built.
Yeah, the new
house. But before then, were your uncle and aunt living close to you?
I can't remember where they were living.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where they were living.
Right.
When they came back from Italy.
Right. Yeah. Would the fact that your father didn't have a license and didn't want to drive, would that have reduced social life in your family?
Yes, I suppose it would have. I mean, all the others had a license. My uncle Isidoro had a license, and Chisel had a license. They all had cars, so we didn't get a car until my brother could drive, and that helped a bit to go around. But
I'm backtracking to the tomatoes.
Yeah.
Did you grow beans in the glass houses with the tomatoes?
No.
Just the tomatoes?
Yeah, it's just tomatoes. I can't remember growing beans.
Because
All that stuff then you would have to go to the market to sell. And we, you know, we didn't have, we had the truck, but it was only mainly used for heavy stuff, you know.
Yes. So it meant that both the celery, the potatoes and the tomatoes were able to be taken off the property and sold differently, you know, like other people, like your uncle Doro would have gone to market.
That's right. Yeah. He used to always go to market.
That's interesting that your family was, had a different way of doing transaction, really. You talked about having two horses on the property. Do you remember any other animals that you would have had around? Like, was there a cow?
It was a cow. Yeah, we used to have a cow for milk. Not much else, no.
Chickens?
Oh, well, those sort of stuff, yeah. My mum had plenty of chickens and ducks and ducks and turkeys, yeah.
And were they for eating?
Yeah, they were all for eating,
And what about your jobs growing up? Like, did you have particular jobs in the market gardens?
No, I was only there weekends, I suppose, and after school. I just helped around, do what was necessary.
Talking about school, where did you go to school?
Primary school, went to St. Joseph's and Captain Cook Avenue.
And how did you get to school?
Walk.
And how long would that have taken?
Oh, it wasn't that far, probably. Under a half an hour, it wasn't. You just go across the gardens. Yeah.
So. And whose gardens would you cross?
Oh, the Zarellas mainly. The Zarellas. Once we got out of our ground, then we go across the paddock there where the Flinders Park Oval was now, and then once you cross that, you're into the Zarellas land, and then you're virtually on Drake Avenue, which is near the school. Yeah. So it wasn't that far.
So when you were growing up and primary school years, what was your area, your suburb like?
It was the southern side of Hartley Road was all gardens. There was houses on the northern side of Hartley Road. And then as far as up to us, and it was all dirt from there and gardens from there to Findon Road, because the Reckies were there as well, and Girolamo's. So it was all a lot of vacant land, well, vacant in the sense that there was no houses on it, but being used.
And I suppose not many trees?
No trees. No.
Taking up land?
A little bit of a waste of a space.
On the northern side of Hartley Road, there were some houses.
Well, mostly, yeah, that was mostly occupied. Yeah, that was all, Barker Avenue and all Drake Avenue and all those. There were all houses there.
And were there other kids from Market Garden families at school at Captain Cook Avenue?
Yeah, there was Girolamo's were there, and then the Adamis were there. They weren't Market Gardeners, but the local, and then the Burnos, Robert Burno, they were all there. Yeah, we all went there and then moved on to St. Michael's. Yeah.
And how would you have got to St. Michael's?
Oh, I had a bike then. I went up in class, I had a bike.
So did you go to St. Michael's at Beverley or at Henley Beach?
Both. Went to Beverley for 3 years and then Henley Beach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how did you like school?
Didn't like school.
Why not?
I just didn't like. I wasn't a scholar, just didn't like school. Being out in the garden, you feel free. Being in school, you're closed in.
It didn't suit you.
It didn't suit me.
So, how many years of high school did you do?
I did. I failed once. Six, it would have been.
Did you do leaving?
Yes, I did matric.
Oh, you did matric?
Yeah.
That's pretty good for someone who didn't like school.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I suppose. But I didn't pass matric, so there was no pass or fail in those days. It was good.
Were your parents interested in you going to school?
No. They couldn't speak English very well, and And the activities on at school, they were interested in that. So,
did they encourage you to study?
Not really. No, it was left up to me.
And what subjects would you have liked most at school?
Oh, I didn't like any of them. I didn't like any of them.
That must have been hard going to school, although you would have known other kids, you know, from the area, they would have been your friends, would they? Why did you could have left school at 15, you know, like the compulsory
I don't know why I kept going. I don't know why I kept going. I hadn't probably made up my mind what I wanted to do. Right. So I was a bit, I don't know. I suppose if the garden wasn't sold, I may have stuck it out in the garden. But that's, my uncle and my dad sold, so that wasn't an option.
When did they sell? Did they sell when you were still at school?
Oh,
okay.
That was, when was that, 1966 or thereabouts?
Right. And do you know why the decision was made to sell?
Oh, well, they were getting on a bit, and they were pressured on sort of both sides with real estate. You know, the houses were up, the Jarmans had sold all from there to Holbrooks Road. It was all sold and houses everywhere. And then...
Oh, excuse me, that's a poor...